This is Finding Christ in Cinema. You have my permission to listen.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we ride the lightning to the 1970s soundtrack and look for Christian themes in Kong, Skull Island. Can James Conrad ever go home again? Why is Hank Marlowe such a great friend to everyone? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 144. I'm Michael.
I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, the plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan Taylor.
Hey.
Last week, we took a little bit of a break from all the heavy emotion of the previous three films.
Sure.
And toned it down just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
For the 2017 remake,
the live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast.
What a fantastic film that was.
Yes,
A great Christian theme in there, and we talked about compassion. Do you think that we were able to nail the point on what compassion looks like in the Bible?
I think so.
So did you have any addendums, afterthoughts? And another thing.
Not me.
Because I stepped on you pretty big time last episode.
Hey, it's all right. It's all right.
And you were going in a great direction, but that picture of Belle and the Beast realizing that each other, well, hey, you're like me. Not exactly. We both have tragedy in the past. We both are misfits. We're a couple of misfits, but okay. Anyway.
Who does Christmas things in July?
In Disney movies.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have done that.
No.
Anyway, so again, a great picture of what compassion looks like. You know, first you feel it, then you do it. And you continue to show that tender-hearted mercy towards one another, just as the Good Samaritan did towards that man that was fallen among the thieves. And you know what? We missed a great opportunity to point out, you know, I said Samaritans were looked on as dogs. You can also say as beasts.
Oh.
Right?
There you go.
Okay. All popcorn, all the time. What are we going to talk about this week?
Oh, this week we are talking about Kong, Skull Island.
Oh. You ready to go to the theater?
I really
popcorn
am.
Popcorn in hand?
Yes.
Junior Mints, let's go.
These are photos of an island in the South Pacific.
The place where myth and science meet. I see the
moon rising. We use explosives to shake the earth, helping us to map the surface of the island.
You're dropping bombs.
Scientific instruments. I see
trouble on the way. Is that a monkey?
Magnificent.
You knew that thing was out here?
I'm sorry for your men, Colonel. But if you want to make their sacrifice worthwhile, get us home with proof. Monsters exist.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Your friend there can put that down. What the hell is this place?
That's Kong. He's king around here. Kong's a pretty good king. Keeps to himself mostly. Well, you don't go into someone's house and start dropping bombs unless you're picking a fight.
Kong's god on the island, but the devils live below us.
And what are they called?
I call them skull crawlers.
Why?
I never said that name out loud before. It sounds stupid now that I say it. Just you call them whatever you want.
This is a good group of boys. We're all gonna die together out here. You shouldn't have come here.
Wow. Did you see this in the theater?
Oh, I did.
And what was the experience like?
Oh, it was so good. It was just so good.
Did
it
you
was
go so... in there? Let me ask you first. Did you go in with high expectations, low expectations, or completely neutral?
I went in, I guess I would say neutral, but still intrigued.
Okay.
Just because I do think monster movies are fascinating, and just me personally. So when I heard about this one coming out, plus it had Tom Hanks in it. Not Tom Hanks, but Hank Williams Sr. in it.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston himself.
Loki. Loki. FCC's very own.
Yes, yes. We'll get more about him later. It had Loki. It had John C. Reilly, which I was kind of weirded out by at first. But I grew to like his character. More about that later. Samuel L. Jackson, John Goodman, Brie Larson, all these characters that are just great.
Right.
All these actors that are portraying them. What helped sink the movie in for me, though, was the aesthetics of it.
What do you mean by the aesthetics?
Like the visual effects, but the combination of the technical craft and how it drove the story.
The stylization
of it. Yeah, yeah. Yes. The color palette.
It is a really, very appealing to me.
Yeah.
Then in that regard.
And there's just the one scene we were talking about before the mics were hot. The one scene that when it happened on the screen, I just sank back in my chair and thought, okay, this movie can do nothing wrong anymore. The one scene.
The golden moment.
The golden moment was when it was an action sequence, of course. It's when Tom Hiddleston's character, James Conrad, is when Conrad, they are in the graveyard of Kong's family. The fumes are going around, so there's this eerie yellow gas floating around. But then something happens, and these...
Skull crawlers.
Skull crawlers.
Those creepy little pterodactyls.
Well, not even that, but yeah, these other minuscule monsters are pressing down on our human characters, and one of the army guys has this bag full of toxic gas. Well, that gas explodes out of the cans, and it starts going throughout the field, and it's this, like, deep green.
Mm.
Well, Tom Hiddleston's character, Conrad, has to find a way to fight these monsters in this gas. So he, in one fell swoop, he grabs John C. Reilly's sword and then a gas mask off of a fallen soldier. And with the holding the gas mask with one hand, or with the gas mask, he's got the gas mask on, he's got the sword, and he's just slashing through those monsters. And the green gas is flowing around him, and the yellow gas is flowing around him. And it was just really cool.
Again, that stylized action.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. These movies aren't supposed to be realistic.
No.
They're supposed to transcend.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah. It's escapism.
Yes.
Essentially.
It's to entertain.
And that island, despite all the giant monsters that were on it, was a beautiful place.
Hey, in fact, Tom Hiddleston's character says something about that. Maybe we'll mention that in passing later on. I didn't see it in the theater, and I watched it with hopeful trepidation.
Yes.
And the reason why, Brendan, is many listeners know, if you followed this show for any amount of time, that giant monsters... The only thing that can match giant monsters is giant robots.
Yes.
Okay. I love giant monsters and giant robots. I grew up watching the Godzilla films. And so when you have Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, winner, winner, chicken dinner, because it's a Godzilla fighting a robot Godzilla. And that is the bomb. And I have memories of giant robot, Johnny Sacco, and things like this. I love monster movies. My worst nightmares as a little tiny kid are of Godzilla-style monsters walking down my street about to step on my house, you know, before I wake up, just terrified. I don't know why, but I love them. And so, and obviously King Kong, Mighty Joe Young, you know, things such as that. And therefore, I'm very jealous of my monster movies. I'm afraid that, and jealousy isn't that you're afraid to lose something. And I don't want some director that I don't know who they are to come and steal something from me. Sure. And that would be King Kong. You know, I don't think that Peter Jackson did a very good job back in, 2005? Mm-hmm. With, I mean, a great cast in there, too. Jack Black, you know, I love. But the first half of the movie was boring as all get out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still watch the movie. I still own it. I still paid money for it because it's King Kong,
yeah.
Right? And I did like the visuals of him fighting a T-Rex. Mm-hmm. Now, that was great. That's one problem. Let me get this out before I forget about it. I didn't like the skull crawlers. That's the only thing. And that's also liking to the newest Godzilla film. You know what the worst thing about the newest Godzilla film for me was, which we covered on Finding Christ in Cinema,
was
the Mutos.
The Mutos, yeah.
I didn't like them.
What Mutos. Did Mutos stand for? M-U-T-O?
Mute. I don't know.
It was like, I can't remember. Yeah, it was an acronym for something.
It was. So anyway, but visually, man, I love this film. Let me just say that. So thank you for taking a precious memory of mine, a something that I hold dear, and making a great film. I don't know that, you know, it really is, when you're talking aesthetics, that is ineffable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it is purely subjective.
It's so subjective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really, really loved the look of this. So what I did, to get back to my story with my hopeful trepidation, because the trailer sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah. And we actually talked about the trailer in our 2017 preview show.
Yes.
The beginning of the year. So.
Yep. Okay, getting back to it. I messaged you. I said, Brendan, is this a film that I want to rent or own? And you said, well, I want to own it, and I think you will too. You made my decision for me. Well, actually, Amazon, iTunes, Google Play Music, anywhere else that you can get they made the decision for us, because you can only purchase this film. Mm. So if you folks out there love monster movies and you love, Pacific Rim is one of our very favorite films for Finding Christ in Cinema because of the messages that we pulled out and that, mm-hmm. that are still reverberating to this day. If you enjoyed the newest Godzilla film, buy this movie.
Yeah.
In glorious HD.
Yeah.
Because the special effects, the CGI is just fantastic.
And an actual physical disc copy won't be available until July 18th. So not for another couple weeks.
So just go ahead and buy this from Amazon. Hey, parental warnings.
Yeah, got to throw that in there.
Bad words.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Samuel L. Jackson in the film. John Goodman.
The king of bad words.
Yes. And so
both of them, really.
Yeah, bad words are thrown around in this film. Oh, they're army guys and, you know, stuff like that. And anybody that's familiar with the military, you know, if you've been in the military, you know how people talk.
Mm-hmm.
You okay? You know how people act. And so just be mindful of that. So don't have your little kids around while you're watching this. Watch it late at night with your friends or loved ones. And we're going to give you some Christian themes that you can use in order to spread the good news of Jesus. But first, shout outs.
Let's talk about FCC's very own Tom Loki Hiddleston, shall we?
You know what?
As James Conrad.
Okay, he's a big name already.
Yes.
All the girls love him, right?
Not just because he dated Taylor Swift.
Did he?
He did.
Oh, okay. I think he's a fine actor.
Sure.
And I mean, a really good actor. And I do believe that that he will go on, you know, upwards and onwards. You know, one day he's going to be in one of those films that are all-star, you know, all-time classics.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is leading man material. And I really enjoyed his performance in here. What did you like about his performance?
I liked his, I don't know, he's just... He's accessible.
Yes,
performance is very accessible.
He's hardcore.
He draws
you in.
He's
a guy that can get things done, but he's accessible mm-hmm. and compassionate.
He's got that. He's got that. I guess that everyman quality.
Yeah,
yeah. That it just draws you in. So
okay. Who else?
FCC's very own Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes,
as Preston
Mace
Packard.
Windu. Oh no, no, no! Oh, Preston Packard, the man who loves being in the military. It's what he does. Mm-hmm. It's what he knows. Mm-hmm. It's where he's comfortable.
Yes.
I mean, that's his life. And what about Samuel L. Jackson's performance?
Well, his character definitely had that Captain Ahab-esque drive to him.
That confidence.
That obsession.
Yes.
That angry obsession, that vengeful confidence.
And the ability, I mean, men listen to him.
Mm-hmm. He commands authority.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's the...
Yeah. With this film in particular, I appreciate how they gave him some voiceover opportunities, especially when he's encouraging his troops while they're flying through that red lightning
directing,
storm.
He's directing.
He's not only giving them directions, but he's also trying to build up their morale.
Right. That's directing as well.
Okay.
Here's what you're going to feel right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, you know, in the Greek mythology, Daedalus gave his son Icarus wings of wax. Well, the U.S. military did not give us wings of wax.
Philadelphia rolled steel.
And they will not melt.
Samuel L. Jackson is... Really, I mean, language aside, he's the man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Nick Fury.
Yeah.
I'm just talking Samuel L. Jackson as a person. He's the man. If you need that kind of a person.
He's also Jules, but we're not going to cover that.
Yes, he is. But he's Mace Windu.
He is, yes.
And he just exudes confidence.
Mm-hmm. Next up, FCC's very own John Goodman.
Fantastic. As Bill Randa? Rhonda.
I assume
help
Randa.
Me Rhonda? No, help me Randa. Help me Randa.
You got me on
help
that.
Help me Randa.
What?
So, knock it off. Yeah, you and your ages of covert. Anyway. What did you think of, besides the fact that, you know, the last film that we saw him in, and it might have been the one that he...
10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yes. No. Yeah, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But what before that? Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Well, Big Dan.
No, but I'm saying...
Big Dan team.
Yes. He filmed this soon after 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, yes,
and
yes,
the amount
yes.
of weight that he has lost.
Yeah.
He's looking good.
Yeah.
And, but as I was telling you before the mics were hot, his voice
mm-hmm.
and his character ticks. What did you enjoy about the character of Bill Help Me Randa?
I enjoyed, first of all, the character, and this goes to the writing of the script as well as John Goodman's performance. But I enjoyed the character of Bill because at first it seems like he's just a money-hungry mercenary looking for monsters to bag and take home.
Yeah.
But then once you get on the island and once the stakes start rising a bit, his true colors start coming out, and you can tell that he's ultimately sympathetic with the beasts, whereas Samuel L. Jackson's character is not. So there's a good contrast. And there's that moment where I forget what just happened, but Samuel L. Jackson, he has his big fiery speech, you know, one of many in the film. And then, it was when they look on the mountainside and they see Kong's handprint, his bloody handprint. And Nick Fury's like, look, he bleeds. He's just whatever, like the rest of us, he bleeds. But then John Goodman's character, Bill, stays back for just a second and aligns his hand with with Kong's hand.
His
and
handprint.
That's very good character building right there. And what that means that John Goodman, the actor, has to do is be able to portray at the same time, and you know how I am about portraying two things at once, portray the cold, hard, money-hungry mercenary, but also the sympathetic caretaker, really.
Interesting.
And John Goodman can pull it off.
What is Bill Randa's super objective?
What do you think it is?
He just wants to take home proof so that all the naysayers, the people that laughed him...
He wants to prove himself to not be crazy.
Yes.
He wants to prove
that's his super objective, isn't it?
He wants to prove that he isn't actually a smart man.
Look, I'm not here to kill anything.
Yeah.
We're here to gather proof.
Yeah.
Just bring me proof. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that you lost a bunch of men, is what he's saying to Samuel L. Jackson's character as Preston Packard. I'm sorry about that. Just get me proof and let's get off this island.
Hey.
His super objective is to clear his name.
There you go.
Okay. Who else?
FCC's very own Toby Kebbell.
Whoa, wait. Where do we know him from?
We know him from A Monster Calls.
Ah!
Because he is
the dad.
I
thought he did a fantastic job in that. Mm-hmm. And I think he does a fantastic job playing
Chapman.
Yes.
Did we ever get his first name, or was it just Chapman? I know it's on his dog tag.
Yeah.
But I couldn't catch it.
Is that a monkey?
Yes. But that's not all.
What?
Toby Kebbell was also the motion capture actor for Kong himself.
What? They didn't call in Andy Serkis?
Nope.
Why?
I have no idea why they didn't make that call. And here's some trivia, Michael.
Yes. And this is the answer.
Here's some trivia. So not only does Toby Kebbell do the mocap action or acting for Kong, but he also did it with Andy Serkis.
There's your answer.
In Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
He was Dawn?
He was not Dawn. He was
because Dawn's a girl.
Yeah, Dawn's a girl. Yeah. Toby played the character of Koba.
Ah.
And Koba is, have you seen Dawn?
No.
Okay, you need to see Dawn. It's good.
And I heard she made it out and made it to the next episode, the new episode that's coming out.
It's coming out in July.
Okay.
July 21st.
So it's Dawn of the War of the Planet of the Apes? Dawn for the War.
Dawn for the War of the Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Something like that. And then the Conquest. Anyway, so Toby Kebbell played Koba while Andy Serkis played Caesar, plays Caesar.
There you go. Andy Serkis, the king of mocap, who goes around and trains other actors to do mocap. See, now this film, they saved a bunch of cash because they didn't have to pay Andy Serkis to come in. They got a guy that he trained to do it. Hey, he can play Chapman and he can play Kong. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, money saved.
And here's something else, Michael.
Yes.
Andy Serkis also played Kong.
Yes!
In the 2005 Peter Jackson film.
Yep.
Kind of comes back around full circle.
Isn't that interesting? That really is interesting. I got to say, Toby Kebbell, I'm thankful that he is in the menagerie. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah, we need more of him.
We do!
Yes. Welcome to the menagerie, Brie Larson.
Yes.
Brie Larson as Mason Weaver. She's her character's as sort of sold at the front as like a hippie photographer, anti-war
activist.
Yeah.
And you know what? She, here's a great thing, and parents take note if you haven't seen the film. There's no sex in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe a budding relationship is alluded to, but you don't have to worry about that when the kids watch this film.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see Brie Larson next in Avengers Infinity War.
Yes.
As
Captain Marvel.
Yes. Ooh. And then going on after that in 2019 comes the standalone Captain Marvel film. What'd you think of her character?
I thought she was very interesting to contrast against the Samuel L. Jackson type of character. Very interesting. And there are scenes, you could just feel that tension between them.
She also went through a growth in this film, though,
yes,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
She was fully on one side, as opposed to the other side, being Samuel L. Jackson's Preston Packard. But then she's drawn a little bit more towards the center, thanks to Tom Hiddleston's James Conrad. Who else?
I'm going to save the best for last, just my personal opinion. But welcome to the menagerie, Shea Whigham. He plays I can't remember his rank, but he plays Cole in the film. And Cole is the one who is eating the baked beans after the helicopter crash.
He sacrifices himself.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have given a spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen this film, you're going to get some spoiling going on. Yeah. That was he did a great job in that.
His final redeeming moment was very touching.
Yes.
It didn't work out the way
he
wanted
hoped.
It to. Yeah, you know. He had hoped. But it was still touching nonetheless.
Yeah.
And Michael, finally.
Yes?
Welcome to the menagerie, John C. Reilly.
Oh! He hasn't been in the menagerie yet?
I'm actually double-checking that. I don't think he has.
Oh, goodness.
Because we haven't done Wreck-It Ralph.
No, we haven't.
We haven't done, we definitely haven't done Talladega Nights.
No, none of those
movies. We're not
movies,
going to.
No.
We haven't done Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Which, almost, have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
I'm tempted to see that one.
No, we haven't done Anchorman.
No.
Now, we had briefly talked about doing The Dictator.
Oh.
Was that the one with No, wait, never mind. Sorry. I got Philip Seymour Hoffman.
You're thinking of Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, that's Hoffman, a different one.
Which we still need to put on Patron Saint Philip Presents.
The list!
I don't remember what it's called.
So, this film, The Master?
Yeah, The Master. That's it.
So, yeah, this film is...
This brings John C. Reilly.
This brings John C. Reilly.
As Hank Marlowe.
Yes, sir.
What do you think?
Oh, I loved his character. I just loved him.
What about him? First of all, there's a lot of John C. Reilly in that character.
Of course.
And
yes.
He's, you know, kind of affable and likable, right? I love that the film began with his story, how he came to the island, which obviously is a forward to later on in the film, which we'll talk about here in just a few moments. But that stylized action starting right at the beginning, boom, 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 was great. And then we meet him... almost 30 years later, he got there, 1944, and then we meet up with him in 1973. That's the year that this film takes place in. And, you can see that, that time on that island has affected him deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things have transpired in his time on that island. And I just think that he... You know, that scene, we'll talk about it on the other side of the break, where he's talking about a hot dog on opening day and just the way he pauses and looks and thinks. But you're real.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Well, he speaks to a longing for community and companionship and friendship.
And compassion.
And compassion.
Oh.
That is really, really in stride with the Christian walk.
Are you going to be able to build on those themes?
I believe so.
Okay. What we will do is we're going to take a break here on Thunder Radio and let all the listeners here in Coffee County get caught up on news, weather, and sports. And when we get back after the break, friends, Christian themes. Yes, Christian themes in Kong Skull Island. So stick with us on the other side of the break here on Finding Christ in Cinema. For more of Finding Christ in Cinema, follow us on Twitter at Christ in Cinema and Facebook at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. As listeners to Thunder Radio are getting caught up to news, weather, and sports, all the happenings here in the greater Coffee County area, Brendan, we are going to go back in time because I do believe that lightning storm, that was a pretty heavy-duty lightning storm around
Skull Island.
Yeah,
well, that's what kept the island hidden for so long.
Do you know what happens if one of those copters got hit by the lightning bolt?
What happens?
Gotta go back in time.
When do they get sent back to 1883 or 1885?
1885 with eyebrows floating around.
Eyebrows and Huey Lewis.
Yes,
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
Oh, I have that.
I know you do.
I do. Where is it?
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
Anyway, we're going to take this opportunity in order to enjoy some listener feedback. And so we hop upon Philippe with the coconut feet.
Who goes there? It is I.
Bling blow. Chain on skateboard, Pete.
That shouldn't have rhymed like it did.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
you still went
with it. We're going to go down to, Prince Philip is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom. He left a comment on the last episode. That was Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 143, Beauty and the Beast, Compassion and Sympathy.
He says, hey, guys, I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast, but still checked out this episode.
He hasn't seen Beauty and the Beast?
I know.
It's a musical.
From the way you guys talked.
That's it. It's a musical.
It's a musical. That's exactly what it is. Philip, we got your number, buddy. Philip.
That's my wee lad, Gimli.
If you're watching the live feed on the video, or if you're just watching the video, we got your number, pal.
Quite right. Good idea. Quite right. Good idea. Right.
But I still checked out this episode, he continues.
What a faithful, friendly listener.
From the way you guys talked about it, it sounded like the Beast story was in keeping with Matthew 10:39 out of the New English Translation. Quote, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will find it. And that's Jesus speaking. Because of Jesus, they will find it. Only when his motivations became selfless did he get true satisfaction and freedom. Does that make sense? Of course it does. Thanks for the show, guys. Hashtag MoeLad Gimlet.
Which is really exemplified in that scene where when he comes home and here comes Cogsworth, well, master and everything, top, top, and you know, all's well that ends well, and mm-hmm. love's true love wins the day.
Yeah.
I let her go. What? Yeah. You know, you yeah. what? And he said, I just wish I could have done the same for you to free them all. Yes, great point. But now, Philip, watch the movie. Watch the movie. It's a great movie.
It is a musical.
It is definitely a musical. But so was Mary Poppins. And we got him to watch that.
Yeah, yes, yes.
See, there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power of persuasion.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
On reverse CC.
Reverse psychologically.
Hey, we also received a new 5-star review in iTunes via a one K5 family.
He says this podcast. Oh, he says this podcast. There we go. I said it right. Find something deep within a cartoon movie that's supposed to be funny and stupid. Being strictly Christian myself, I love listening to these two speak through God Himself.
Wow.
And yeah.
Well, I think that actually meant God Himself speaking through these two. I would never claim. Well, two things I wouldn't claim. One is that we speak through God. And number two, that even God speaking through us, I don't know that we're always successful in hearing His message, right?
Oh, yeah.
Want to make sure that we are honoring Him on this show, and we are definitely not infallible. We're just watching movies and pulling out themes that we see,
yeah.
right? But we sure do appreciate that feedback, that review on iTunes. That helps other iTunes users discover the show. And so if any of you out there, if you have an Apple account, an Apple ID, you can log in to iTunes and go over there and find our show. And if you would, leave us a 5-star review, you know, if you feel that that's appropriate. If you don't feel that a 5-star review is appropriate, then don't leave anything. Because, again, the purpose of that is not merely to make us feel good about what we're doing here. It is in order to, more importantly, it's to bolster and boost the visibility of Finding Christ in Cinema for folks out there who love movies. Right?
That's right.
Anything else that you want to add to that?
No, that's it.
No? Anything you want to tell the people before the break's over?
Nah, we got it.
Okay, I'll tell people. We'll reach home later on in the show. Oh, okay. Man. Hey, this second half of the show is a doozy. This film, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
Deep. Christian themes abound. All right, back to Finding Christ in Cinema. Welcome back to Finding Christ in Cinema, the show where we believe in three things. We believe that all the best stories have monsters, giant monsters or giant robots.
Yes.
And elements of the greatest story. And we're going to share some Christian themes with you from the 2017 film
Kong. Skull Island.
Kong.
Kong, 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 Kong.
And we spent the first half of the show, Brendan, talking about the film as a craft and how it was made. It's you know, of course, this is purely subjective, but it is aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
The direction and the camera work and the music. Oh, fantastic soundtrack in this. The acting is fantastic for this purely fantastical movie.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But in a film that's just for entertainment, just for selling Cokes and popcorn in the local Cinemaplex,
yeah,
can we find Christian themes in a movie about a giant monkey? That's one thing. I love that everybody refers to him as a monkey. Mm-hmm. They obviously are not VeggieTales fans because they would know if it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey.
Right.
Okay.
Right. See, I knew that.
You did.
I knew that.
If it's got a tail, it's not an ape.
There you go.
Yeah, something about even if it has a monkey kind of shape. Yeah, it has a monkey kind of shape, but no, that isn't a monkey. Is that a monkey? But is there Christian themes in there?
Oh, of course. And the one I'd like to illustrate today is this character, Hank Marlowe, Lieutenant Hank Marlowe. Let's call this section What a Friend We Have in Hank Marlowe.
Oh.
Or Hank Marlowe is a friend. He's a friend next to you.
What a friend we have in Marlowe.
Yes. We meet Hank in the opening of the film. He crashes onto Skull Island. He's being hunted down by a World War II enemy, yes. And just as Hank and this enemy, who is later called Gunpei, and we'll get to meet him just a little bit, as they are duking it out, and it seems like one is about to die, they both meet Kong, and the title credits open.
And
open
cut.
The film. And cut. We don't find out what happens until later on, as years go by, and finally...
You talk about a jump cut.
That is one heck of a jump cut.
From 44 to 73.
There you go. And mark my words, there will never be a more screwed up time in Washington than in 73. Am I right? That's what John Goodman says. We see what happens as years go by. And people from the outside world finally come back to the island. And they meet Kong. They meet a giant ant. They meet a whole slew, a giant water yak or whatever that thing was.
That water buffalo
thing? Yeah, that water buffalo.
Wow.
They had grass growing on it.
That was impressive.
Huge. And they somehow get lost in the jungle, and they end up at the gates or at the entrance point of this very, very primitive people. And with their spears at their necks, the Anglos, we'll call them, the Anglos are wondering if they're going to make it out or not, make it out alive or not. And then we hear this voice saying, whoa, 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 stop right there. And lo and behold, it's Hank Marlowe.
Lieutenant Hank Marlowe, the 45th.
Put the old flight suit on for you.
You are more beautiful than a hot dog and a beer at Wrigley Field on opening day.
But you're real.
Let's unpack this from what we know about Hank Marlowe so far. He values human life. We can see that, for one, we understand that that is him that crashed on the island years ago. But he's already adapted and has been welcomed by the community.
Yes.
By the native community of
the
island.
He's one of them.
He is one of them. They are his family. Even his very own enemy, which we'll talk about in the next sound clip, Gunpei, becomes his brother. He knows the natives and he understands them, but he still longs for his own people. That's why he's so excited when Hank Williams Sr. and Captain Marvel show up with their team.
Oh, he's got a grown son that he's never met.
A 19-year-old son that he's never met. He wonders if his wife still even loves him.
Yeah.
Or does she think she's dead and has she moved on?
He just wants to see them one more time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The plan then is made to get off the island. But Hank Marlowe is still very hesitant because he doesn't want to leave his brother behind.
This man's name was Gunpei Ikari. But you take away the uniforms and the war, and he became my brother. And we swore we'd never leave each other behind. Let's get off this island.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some great acting.
Yeah, I was when he chokes with those tears. Very similar to how Samwise Gamgee choked on his tears in the chapter that we just discussed of Lord of the Rings in our Secret Fire podcast.
That is a great way to pitch our other show, Brendan.
Thanks,
for all
man.
Listeners that may not tune into the Secret Fire podcast at secretfirepodcast.com.
There you go. But I love John C. Reilly. And this scene really helped it for me. But when his voice changes with those tears,
mm-hmm.
and you can hear how much he misses his brother and he longs for his brother. They were once enemies. If you take away the uniform, you take away the war, we became brothers.
They survived together.
Yeah.
They lived together. They thrived together, and they became one.
Mm-hmm.
They became one. They're brothers. They're family.
Yes.
You're one of us.
Yes. Michael, we see this character trait in Hank Marlowe from the beginning of the film, that he would lay down his life for his friends. He joined the war cause. He became a soldier because he wanted to protect those at home. Even the enemy that was chasing him down, they grew to be brothers, and he bitterly regrets having to leave his body behind. Because he has made a lifetime of these choices, he is then
that
able...
That reminds me of N.T. Wright.
Yeah. Because he has made a lifetime of these choices, he has no problem going back and saving Kong from Samuel L. Jackson's character, Preston Packard, who is on an obsessive, angry hunt for King Kong. Hank Marlowe has no problem going back to save Kong because Kong himself is also Hank's family.
Don't shoot!
Conrad, which way are we going?
You three need to go back to the boat. It's that way. Wait for us till dawn. If we're not back by then, just go.
You ain't gotta twist my arm.
Where are you two going?
We're going to save Kong.
Not without me, pal.
And we hear that sword. And guess whose sword that is? That is Gunpei's sword.
His brother's sword.
His brother's sword. That's how we know how much Hank Marlowe loves his brother Gunpei. Gunpei Yukari. We know that Hank Marlowe loves and fearfully respects, but still loves Kong. Kong is, after all, God on this island.
Yeah. He's king.
He's king.
And he's a good king.
He's a very good king. He protects his people. Mm-hmm. And I love how, and this is a rabbit trail, but I love how John C. Reilly's character describes how these people, they were afraid of Kong at first. But then they realized that the thing that they were afraid of...
For a thousand years.
Then started to protect them from things that were trying to eat them. The people became endeared to Kong, and Kong became endeared to the people, as well as to John C. Reilly, or as well as to Hank Marlowe, rather. Just so much of this theme, and just the capsule, it's all encapsulated in John 15:13, out of the NILT.
Yes.
Out of the New Living Translation, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what we see with Hank Marlowe.
Yes.
We see that great love to where he would sacrifice, he would put himself between the skull crawlers
mm-hmm.
and his friends.
You know, that reminds me, I mean, look at the key word in there. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. How do you become friends when you start to commune? Well, what did Jesus say? If you love me, you're my friend. If you keep my commandments, you're my friend. Well, what's his commandments? That you love one another mm-hmm. as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
That sacrificial love. That is the Christian life. That is encapsulated in John C. Reilly's character.
In John C. Reilly, chapter 15, verse 13, the NILT, which we just read.
Yep. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know what? I bet you he was carrying that sword because he had planned when he got home to make sure that got to his family, Gunpei's family.
I hadn't thought about that.
I'll bet you anything.
That would go right along with his character, though.
It would. Wow.
That'd be an interesting scene to film.
You know who else fits in with this theme? There's two characters in here that just go hand in hand. One left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot.
Yeah.
And that is the character of James Conrad. He reminds me of the Apostle Paul and the compassion that the Apostle Paul exhibited. You know, I think of this as his character arc, the story arc of his character, as that I may win more. That's what he's all about. But when we meet him in those back alleys of Singapore or Saigon or wherever that was, where John Goodman's character of Bill Randa and his partner, who also did a fantastic job, that was some great acting on the part of his partner, they meet up with this man that they are looking for, this James Conrad.
We need someone like you, with your skill, your unique expertise in uncharted jungle terrain, to lead us on our ground expedition.
We're just scholars and scientists. We need someone with experience, in case things go sideways. Men go to war in search of something, Mr. Conrad. If you'd found it, you'd be home by now.
Oh, fantastic! With the Hollies, long, cool woman in a black dress under there at the end of it. That's just a great scene. That's the first one where I really... Oh, wait a second. I need to follow this thread and see if this is where I want to go. And it ended up, this is where I wanted to go, watching this film, especially seeing how the character ended up. Men go to war in search of things, Mr. Conrad. If you had found it, you'd be home now. Why aren't you home? Because you haven't found what you're looking for. And we learn about James Conrad in this film. We learn that when he was a little boy, his father was a great serviceman in the RAF, the Royal Air Force, for Her Majesty's Royal Air Force. And he loved his daddy, and his dad was his hero. And one time, his dad went flying off to fight, and he didn't fly home. And I think that James Conrad has a little bit of this playing upon him that somehow I'm going to bring my dad home. And he becomes I don't even know what the adjective would be, but a soldier's soldier. This is the guy. He is
an apex.
Yes. He's pinnacle.
This is where you
acme. Right? So that's
that means?
Yeah.
I don't act him at that.
Yeah, it's not just products in Bugs Bunny cartoons.
That's where I was going. Okay.
It is the apex, really, is what it is. But he's the man. We need you. Mm-hmm. You. We. Do you know how far we traveled to find you? We need you because you're the man. And he is that man because he is, again, he's wanting to bring his dad home. He can't bring his dad home, but he can bring other people home. In fact, he is a specialist of sorts. And when he is starting to confront Preston Packard, Samuel L. Jackson's character, James Conrad, you can see it in his interaction with him. He knows there's something wrong with this soldier. He's the commanding officer, and I have to defer to him. But there's something wrong with him. And finally, Samuel L. Jackson's character, Preston Packard, is wanting him to go off and find Chapman. Chapman. And he confronts James Conrad.
Still got a man out there, Conrad.
Wait a second. You got someone out there?
Chapman. He's with the Down Sea Stallion, just west of here.
West? We can't go west. That's where those skull things live. We have an old saying here, east is best, west is worst. That's why we say it. You know, southwest? We can talk about that, but you're going to need a lot more guns if you're going to go west.
Guys, I think that we should listen to Marlow. This is crazy.
Hey, your job is finding lost men, right?
Okay, sir. But if we reach that position and he's not there, we don't send out a search party. We're back here by nightfall, understood? In 24 hours, we have to be on the other side of this island.
Roger that. Hear you loud and clear.
Wait, I still have a man out there. Wait, you have a man out there? Yeah. Your job is to find lost men, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That is my job. That's what I do. All because I want to save my dad. I want to go and get my dad and bring him home. Mm-hmm. I can't do that, and so I'm going to save as many as I can that I may win more.
Ooh.
Isn't it?
Mm.
In fact, goes on, and the the confrontation between Preston Packard and James Conrad comes to a peak.
Yep.
And we get to this showdown. Well, let's just go ahead and listen to this. This is the showdown, and this is where we really know what kind of a person James Conrad is.
Whose side are you on, Captain?
Okay, Colonel. You'll find your sea stallion 3 clicks up that ridge. Now, I'm going to take these civilians back to the boat and we'll wait for you there. All right?
I'll tell you exactly where your down plane is. You've lost your soldier. I've already found that out. Mm-hmm. I know what your super objective is to kill King Kong. Mm-hmm. But I also know from John C. Reilly's character that would be the worst thing that you could do, but you don't care because you have an agenda and a bloodlust, and you're a bad man, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you will find your ship up over there. I'm going to take these civilians to the ship in order to get them out of here to safety, that I may win more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I'm a man. I find lost men. And I save them. This is the Apostle Paul, brother. Okay, here's some, let me throw some passages at you folks, because we know what kind of a person Paul was. And he was a man that obeyed his Savior from the moment that he had that encounter on the road to Damascus. And Paul talks about that encounter over and over again in the book of Acts, or Luke made sure that those are remembered for us for a very specific reason. But he tells the Romans in chapter 9, verse 3 out of the NASB, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." What does that tell us? He would sacrifice his own salvation because of the love that he has for his brethren, his kinsmen.
He would lay down his life?
Yes.
Ooh.
And we see that in this film, don't we?
Yeah.
In fact, that's your sound clip. Let's listen to this one again. This was your pinnacle sound clip.
Don't shoot!
Conrad, which way are we going?
You three need to go back to the boat. It's that way. Wait for us till dawn. If we're not back by then, just go.
You ain't gotta twist my arm.
Where are you two going?
We're going to save Kong.
Not without me, pal.
Because they're the same guys! Mm-hmm. That I may win more. Listen, if we're not back, you go. You save yourself. I will be accursed. I'll be separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, as Paul says. Now, that wasn't a possibility. You're not allowed to do that, Paul, is what Jesus said. I've got many things for you to do. Romans 11, 13 through 14. "But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. I go and save lost people. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them..." He, James Conrad, would have even tried to save his antagonist in this film, Samuel L. Jackson's character, Preston. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's no longer in the service. He's not in the services anymore. He was retired with honors because he's awesome. He's an apex soldier. He's free. "But I made myself a slave to all these people so that I may win as many of them as I can, save them all." You know, continuing in that 1 Corinthians chapter 9 text, let's just jump down with the thoughts, skip over a couple of items to verses 22 through 24. "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that all who run in a race run, but only one receives the prize? run in such a way that you may win. Harkening back to last week's episode of the Secret Fire podcast, Brendan,
yes,
for some more cross-pollinization here. When Strider yes is telling the hobbits, have hope, persevere, press on towards the goal, because at the end are the tables, the full tables, and comfort in the house of Elrond,
mm-hmm,
right? As they are trying to make their way from Weathertop to Imladris, to Rivendell, getting back. That last sound clip that you used, if I don't make it back, then go on without me. Save yourselves. That's what I'm here for. I save people, and I'm willing to die. What did Paul say in Acts chapter 21, verse 13? Paul answered, this is when Agabus, the prophet, comes down. Paul's saying, I'm going up to Jerusalem. Here comes Agabus for his second appearance in the book of Acts, where he's going to give a prophecy. The first one was about the great famine that was going to come upon the land. This time, he comes and takes Paul's belt and wraps, binds himself up and says, the Spirit says, this will happen to the man that owns this belt, and blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm, everybody's saying, Paul, don't go, don't go. Don't go back and save anymore. The boat's right here, or the plot, right? Let's go. No, Paul says, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And what does James Conrad say? I'm willing to die in order to save those people.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be saved. And I'm a guy who saves people. And the Apostle Paul is the guy who saves people. Not Paul didn't save them. He knew a guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He knows a guy that
could do all of this. Come with me. That is James Conrad, a man of compassion and a man of great ability and a man that will lay down his life for others. It's a great and a powerful message that can be seen and shared using Kong Skull Island. Do you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks? Your key text is 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. Christians, brothers and sisters, all of us together, let's do that.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yes.
Wow, Brendan. This is a great movie.
It is.
And
it is.
Oh, hey, hip tip, if you haven't watched it yet, you must watch it all the way to the end of the credits.
Oh, yes.
To the very end.
Oh.
What's coming up next time, Brendan?
Well, next time, Michael.
Yeah. Do you want to go on vacation?
Let's go on vacation.
Where should we go?
Let's go to the Caribbean.
Hey!
Or should I say the Caribbean.
Ah!
As we will start our foray into the Jerry Bruckheimer. Is he the one who...
Did he do all of them?
I think so. Okay. Or his company did. Okay. I don't know if he specifically, but
Michael,
we're looking at Walt Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right, starting with up the series
with FCC's very own Johnny Depp.
Ooh.
Get out of here. With I agree though.
Orlando
Bloom. Hey!
Yeah, and we'll be able to welcome in Keira Knightley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, amongst
and Jeffrey Rush.
Oh,
I'm excited for Jeffrey Rush.
All right, starting on the series Pirates of the Caribbean, and we may do it all consecutively or sequentially or whatever the word would be for that, or we may not. Whatever, it doesn't matter. All that matters is Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Saturday, Lord willing, at around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video over at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and to proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now, to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 144 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema and the list of movies we've covered, which is not up to date, I don't think. Get over to our website at christincinema.com. Send us email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
Or you can call us on the voice line and leave a voicemail that we will play and respond to on air at 507-407-4286. That's 507-407-GCTN. But let's just say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
That's what I'd like to do.
And you would have a good reason, because we actually have stuff in the podcast that we don't air on the show.
Like our listener feedback.
Yes. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to TuneIn Radio and Google Play Music and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts,
and our super duper secret Tolkien centric show, the Secret Fire Podcast, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to a skull crawler. Am I right? Am I right?
And that is a wrap.
A whoopsie splunker.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
How absolutely... what's the word?
Squiffling?
How absolutely squiffling.